Awesome. Well, if you're new and just joining us for the first time, I haven't introduced myself yet. I'm Joe. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm really excited to bring God's word to you this morning. Before we jump in, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you so much for the gift that you've given us of your word, the Bible. And I pray this morning that my words would be quieted, and that your words would be so clear and so strong and so powerful. We pray for life transformation this morning, God. I pray that no one would tune in this morning and just kind of hear some words and be like, oh, that was nice. God, no, we need a move of your spirit in our lives. We need transformation. And so right now we submit to you. We submit to your word. We submit to what you have for us. And we ask that you would transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as most of you know, I grew up in a charismatic background. And what that means is that I believed from a young age that the Bible is livable, that the gifts of the Spirit that that are written about in the Bible, that the book of Acts is for today. And I've seen the supernatural. I've seen God do incredible things, things that I wouldn't have believed unless I saw them. But I've also seen people try to manufacture a move of the Spirit. When I was just 13 years old, my family went to a revival meeting, and if you've grown up in church, you might remember a revival meeting or two. So we went to this revival meeting in a school gym, and at the end of the service, the speaker invited anyone who wanted the gift of tongues to come to the front for prayer. And I didn't really understand why that was something that I wanted or something that I needed, but the pastor said it was a good gift that came from God, and that was good enough for me. So I went up to the front during the prayer time to receive prayer for the gifts of tongues. And as I went up there, a couple men gathered around me and began to pray for me, praying that I would receive this gift. And after a while of praying, it was getting a little bit awkward, like nothing was really happening. I was probably thinking about lunch. There wasn't really anything supernatural going on in the moment in my life. And so as they were praying, one of the men started to coach me, and he said, repeat after me. And he began to speak what sounded like gibberish to me. And I didn't want to fake a move of God, and so I didn't repeat after him right away. But he continued to pressure and say, just let it out, just repeat after me. And so I just regurgitated what I had so often heard, right? I should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Kia, right? Something along those lines. And immediately they became so excited, they stopped praying and they encouraged me to use this new gift every single day. And I remember, even as a young kid, walking back to go and sit with my family, I just knew that that wasn't it, that that was not the gift of tongues, that anybody can speak in gibberish and call it tongues, but that doesn't make it tongues. Now, maybe you're watching this morning and you've never even heard of the gift of tongues. You're like, what on earth is this guy even talking about? Well, a simple definition of tongues is this. It's spirit-inspired speech, so speech that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, in a language that's unknown to the person speaking it. That's it. That's a very simple, basic definition. And today's honest conversation on the Holy Spirit, we're going to address the question, what is the deal with tongues? Because there is a lot of confusion, there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of shame wrapped up around this topic. In some Christian circles, there's this tremendous pressure to speak in tongues. And there's this idea that if you don't speak in tongues, that somehow you're less of a Christian, and there's this unintentional shame-based culture that is built around that. In other Christian traditions, tongues is outright rejected as demonic. But I think most people just don't really know what to do with tongues, right? They're probably not on either end of those poles. They're kind of somewhere in the middle, and they're like, I just really don't know what to do about this, right? Of all the spiritual gifts, one of these is not like the other. It's a little bit of an outlier. It just doesn't have the same practicality that the gifts of leadership or pastoring or serving or even prophecy have. And while I'll argue that it meets the criteria that we established last week, that is, spiritual gifts are given to you, but they're for other people, it's also the spiritual gift that's for you. So on one hand, we have this immense amount of pressure to have this experience rather than to pursue the person of the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, we also have a cold indifference or an outright rejection of this gift. My goal for our time this morning is very simple, and that's just to offer a fresh perspective on tongues, to provide a helpful framework for understanding this gift, and hopefully to inspire you to desire it for yourselves. So, it's time for an honest conversation. What is the deal with tongues? Well, it all started on the day of Pentecost. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Pentecost, Pentecost was a Jewish festival that celebrated the early harvest or the first fruits, as well as the day that Moses gave the law on Mount Sinai to the people of Israel. And after Jesus' death and resurrection and he ascended into heaven, the disciples were commanded to wait in Jerusalem for when Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week on Pentecost Sunday. But for now, let's just read what happened. So if you've got a Bible with you, or if you can open up on the chat, there's a Bible option there as well. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, or the NLT. It says this: on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. You see, while on the first Pentecost, Moses gave the people of Israel the law, on the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, he gives the Spirit. This day marked not only the birth of the church, but a taste of a first harvest, or the first fruits, if you will, of life in the kingdom of God. The signs of the sound of wind that came, or the tongues of fire, they would have reminded the Jewish audience that was present of when Moses was on the mountain that was covered with a cloud and with fire and lightning. It would have reminded them of that moment. It would have reminded them of the moment that Moses gave the law, that God's presence was here in a familiar way, but this time not to give the law, but to give of himself, to give the Holy Spirit. But what are we supposed to make about that third sign? What do we do with the unknown languages or with the tongues? Well, let's keep reading, starting in verse 5. It says, at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. They heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. And they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. See, in Jerusalem, there were Jewish believers from every corner of the known world. Many of them were born in different countries and wouldn't even speak Hebrew. Each of them had their own native language. And while most everyone could speak Greek, the common language of the day, it was something else entirely to hear someone speak in your own mother tongue. Not only that, but the disciples were all from Galilee. Not only is that a very defined region within Palestine, but it also had a reputation for kind of being full of backwater towns and uneducated people. And so how is it that these Galileans, all these people from the same region, are speaking in these unknown languages? Well, it wasn't Rosetta Stone and it wasn't Duolingo, I can tell you that much. And what were they saying? They were saying, they were praising God for the wonderful things that he had done. They were sharing the gospel. And what this tells us about the gift of tongues is something very powerful and maybe unexpected. I've got 3 points for you this morning, and the first one is this. Tongues is the voice of unity made possible by the Holy Spirit. Tongues is the voice of unity. To understand the full significance of this, we need to backtrack a lot. We need to go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 11, we read the story of the Tower of Babel. And at that time, everyone on earth had gathered together. They spoke one language. And what's important to realize is that this is the exact opposite of what God had told them to do. God had instructed them to go and to fill the earth. Instead, they went and they congregated and they gathered together. So instead of filling, they congregated. Instead of accepting God's identity for themselves, they chose to create their own identity. They wanted what Mark Sayers calls the kingdom without the king. In other words, they wanted the benefits of God's presence without the pesky inconvenience of serving a god. But God knew that a system built on human power and arrogance would produce horrors too great to bear. And so in an act of grace, God created division by confusing their languages, and they were, as a result, they were scattered across the earth. If you're curious about the story of Babel, you can actually hear a full sermon on that in our series, The Gospel According to Genesis. It's on our website, and the sermon is called The Kingdom Without the King. But let's get back to Pentecost. Pentecost, in every way, is a reversal of the Tower of Babel. Let me explain. Babel is what it looks like when we build our own kingdom. Pentecost is what it looks like when the kingdom of God comes to earth. Babel is where different tongues divide. Pentecost is where tongues unite. Babel is where people try to make a name for themselves. Pentecost was the launching pad for bringing the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. See, Pentecost is what happens when you get the kingdom with the king. Tongues, then, is a sign of unity. It should be celebrated because it represents the inclusivity of the gospel to transcend borders and cultures and races. And so here's a sobering thought. Leave it to us. Leave it to sinful human beings to take a gift that signifies unity and turn it into one of the most divisive and isolating issues among churches. Ironically, what was given as a sign of unity is one of the most divisive topics within Christianity. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we change this? Well, first, we need to own that. We need to own our part, and we need to repent for how each and every one of us have contributed to that division. You know, I had a very helpful conversation the other day with someone, and they had a perspective on tongues that I thought was really quite unique. She told me that she was encouraged when she heard other people speak in tongues, even though they themselves didn't speak in tongues. And when I asked her why that was, she responded, "When I see other people using the gifts that God has given them, it inspires me to use the gifts that God has given me." And I couldn't help but think that that was such a mature attitude to have. To recognize that tongues is something that should strengthen community, that should bolster it, that should lift it up and not divide or weaken it. And while Pentecostals believe that tongues is for every Christian, let that not distract from the Holy Spirit who brings unity. You see, the goal is more of the Holy Spirit. The gift is tongues. I'm going to say that again. The goal is more of the Holy Spirit. The gift is tongues. Let's not confuse the two. Secondly, tongues is the words for when there are no words. I know that's a little wordy, but I'm going to say it again. Words for when there are no words. There's a very powerful story of a young lady named Anna, and if you've taken the Alpha course, you've heard this, so forgive me for sharing it again. During the Holy Spirit weekend, there was an opportunity for prayer, and a lady by the name of Penny came and prayed with Anna. And when Penny ran out of English words to pray, she began to speak in tongues. And as she did, Anna smiled and like burst out laughing, not kind of the reaction you're expecting when you're praying for someone. And Anna smiled and she said, "You're speaking in Russian." And Anna loved Russian. It was a language that she was fluent in and she loved dearly. But Penny didn't speak a word of Russian. And so she was a little bit flabbergasted. She said, "Really? Like, what am I saying?" And Anna responded. She said, "You're saying, my dear child, my dear child." See, it turned out that Anna doubted that God really loved her. Now, of course, God could have told Penny this and said, you know, tell Anna that I love her. And Penny would have said, you know, God loves you, Anna. And Anna would have said, gee, that's nice, thanks. And that's probably all that would have happened. But for God to say in a language that was so near and dear to her heart that he loved her, that she was his child, that was something that mere words could not express. It made all the difference. And this is what we see on the day of Pentecost. The disciples could have praised God in their native tongue of Aramaic, or they could have used the common language of Greek, then everyone could have understood them easily. But it would have been so easy for the crowd to say, "Oh, that's nice." But God showed the people that he knew them intimately, that they mattered, that they were seen by speaking in their own native languages. And the Bible doesn't just talk about human tongues, it also talks about angelic tongues. Earlier I shared my repeat after me kind of false baptism in the Holy Spirit story, but now I would like to share my authentic experience with you. It was a couple years after that experience, and I was at youth group, and it was during the worship time. And I began to praise God, and as I did, there was just this inexplainable joy that came over me. And I can say it was inexplainable because at that time in my life, joy was not an emotion that I felt frequently, nor just kind of snuck up and came to me. And I felt, you know, the phrase bursting with joy, that's exactly what it felt like. It's just like I had all of this inside of me, and it needed to come out some way. And so I thought, you know, maybe this is it. Maybe this is where tongues come in. And so I just began to speak to me what sounded like babbling. But as I did, I could tell in my spirit, I could tell in my mind that I was communicating where there was no words. I felt a release. I felt like it was coming out, that I was expressing to God all of my thankfulness, all of my joy, all of my praise, that I just couldn't muster the words to say. He gave me words when I had no words. The Apostle Paul also talks about how tongues provides words for us when there are no words in a different situation. He says this in Romans 8:26. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." To get an idea of what that looks like, let me share another personal experience with you. There's been times in my personal prayer journey where all of a sudden I just felt this deep burden, this troubling in my spirit that something was wrong and that I needed to pray, and I needed to pray right now. And sometimes that was related to a situation I knew about that was just a messy, confusing situation, and I just didn't have the words, and I just needed to rely on God in faith and to pray in tongues. Sometimes it kind of hit me out of left field, and I had no idea what it was about. I didn't know who I was praying for. I didn't know what situation I was praying about, but I knew that God needed to move, and he needed me to pray. And both of those experiences, the times that they've happened, I've just prayed in tongues. I just took that step of faith until I felt a release, until a peace came over me and that burden was gone. And so the Holy Spirit helps us intercede for other people. Now, I don't know about you, but recently, I'm doing great now, but recently I found myself really just angry. And some of you are watching this morning, and you're just angry, and you're bitter, and you just don't know why. And I was just angry about this whole pandemic thing. See, because the problem was, is I was so angry, but I didn't know who to direct my anger towards. I wasn't angry at God, right? I understand that God didn't cause the virus. I understand that God isn't sadistic. In fact, I understand that God is somehow using this in bringing about for good to shape me, to shape the church. And so I'm not mad at God. And then, you know, a lot of people right now, they're mad at our governing authorities. But I wasn't mad at our governing authorities. You know, maybe I don't always agree with the situations, the decisions they make, but that I just know that they're people and they're trying to do the best that they can do, and that I'm not an expert and they are, and I just need to pray for them and encourage them. And I wasn't mad at them. I wasn't even angry with the devil, to be completely honest with you, because I know that this side of heaven, that the world is incomplete and broken. And so I had all of this anger, all of this frustration, and no way to describe it, no way to release it. And I was having a conversation with a mentor of mine, and he really encouraged me to start praying in tongues every day, to give God all of the feels that I was feeling, all of the stuff I didn't have words for, and to bring it to God in faith, and to pray in my spirit, and just to know that he would take care of it. And as I did, I found that day by day, I became a little less angry, because I was able to experience what I need to experience. I was able to grieve the losses that I did not grieve. By the way, I also think that this is why so many people cry when the Holy Spirit moves in their life. Because we kind of try to put pretenses around our pain so people can't see it and they can't get near it. And the Holy Spirit just cuts through all of that. And he actually gives us the gift of grief. He gives us a gift to be able to experience what we need to experience, to experience those ungrieved losses. See, tongues is the cathartic charismata. It's the cathartic charismata. It's the gift that gives us permission to not only say what we need to say, but to also feel what we need to feel. And this leads us to our third point. Tongues is a practice of spiritual wholeness. Tongues is a practice of spiritual wholeness. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, Paul writes, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." See, the gift of tongues is unique in that it's for the benefit of the person who's praying. So how does it fit into this category of spiritual gifts are given to you, but they're for other people? Well, very simply, it brings us closer to God. It brings us closer in relationship to him. And as we draw closer to God, we begin to love other people easier. It allows us to love others more freely. In the case of Pentecost or in Anna's story, it can be a way of witness to others. In the case of prayer, you can be praying on someone else's behalf. One theologian, who I happen to like, by the way, but on this area we disagree, he discounts tongues today because it does not engage the mind, body, and spirit together. He refers to tongues today as the idea that the spirit is engaged and the mind is on vacation. I would like to put a little bit of pushback on that if I can. I would like to suggest the opposite. Speaking in tongues is a practice of spiritual wholeness. The brain isn't on vacation, as the one scholar put it. And while you may not understand what's being said, it requires engagement. Engagement with the heart and with the head. In prayer, my heart is often burdened or troubled. In praise, it's bursting with joy. And my focus, my mind, is on Jesus and what he's accomplishing. Like, I always have a sense of what it is that I'm praying for, even if I don't know exactly. My brain is not on a beach somewhere sipping Mai Tais. It's engaged. What happens is that you bring your emotions and your mental faculties to God in an act of faith, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide your life. I've never experienced tongues as an involuntary experience. It isn't an act of losing control, but a practice in spiritual wholeness, mind, body, and spirit aligned with the Holy Spirit. I love what New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says. Far too much modern Christian prayer has insisted on words, on logic, on getting everything clear and out into the open. This is, of course, important and indeed vital as one aspect of the whole. But prayer, if it is to be Christian prayer, cannot be grasping at control. It is precisely a relinquishing of control to the one who is capable of doing far, far more than we can ask or imagine. It is saying, "Thy will be done." It is therefore appropriate that at some times and in some ways that prayer should pass beyond the merely rational and wordy and engage with God, as Paul says in Romans 8, at a level too deep for words. Tongues is not a vacation for the mind. It is a practice of spiritual wholeness. Tongues was given to bring us closer to God and closer to each other. Don't let what God intended for unity bring division. Don't pursue tongues at the expense of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let anyone make you feel less than for not speaking in tongues. But seek the most helpful gifts, as Paul encourages us. And tongues is helpful for everyone who speaks it. It really all boils down to 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I could speak in all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So when it comes to tongues, the question is it a good gift or is it meaningless noise? It all comes down to love. It all comes down to the fruit of the Spirit. Right? The gifts of the Spirit aren't a sign of spiritual maturity. The fruit of the Spirit are. And if we're rooted and grounded in love, if our tongues, if our prophecy, if our serving, if our leadership, if all of the different gifts that the Spirit uses are rooted and grounded in love, it's a good gift. Without love, this is all just meaningless noise. The goal is more of the Holy Spirit. The gift is tongues. So let's set aside our agendas and let the Holy Spirit do what only He can do. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and keep an open hand to what God has for us. Let's pray together, and team, you can come on up. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you only give good gifts to your children. And Father, I pray even right now, as some people are watching, I know they're desiring this gift that you have for them. So God, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that people would receive the gift of tongues, that people would receive gifts of the Spirit that you have for them, and that they would walk in those gifts, that they wouldn't just use them for themselves, but they would use them to bless and to help other people. And so Holy Spirit, as we enter into a time of worship again, I just ask that you would move, that you would do what only you could do. And we set aside our agenda. We set aside what we think you should do. And we invite you, come, Holy Spirit, come.